Last Sunday, we started the Triodion with specific prayers calling us to humble our hearts and to gather ourselves when we gather in church and call upon our Lord and ask for forgiveness, that our Lord be gracious unto us. We were given the right example and the wrong example. In the wrong example, the Pharisee said, "I thank thee that I am not like other men." Many of us don't realize that we say this in other words. Certainly we don't say, "I thank thee that I am not like other men," because that would blatantly be Pharisaical. But the devil is very subtle, and he knows his job, and he knows how to fool people. And whenever we exalt ourselves above someone, we are basically thinking that we are above him, and saying, "I thank thee that I am not like other men," without actually saying a prayer. How often we become deluded by putting ourselves in the position of God. As one of the fathers tells us, why do you take God's prerogative away from him? By judging others. Some people have such a sickness that they don't realize it, and it's constantly all day long this darkness of why is this like that and why is that like that. And they're never going to find peace unless they follow the example of the publican and look to the ground, look to the earth from whence we were taken, and from the depths say, "God be gracious to me, a sinner," understanding that there's no other way. It's a desperate situation. It's life and death. It's heaven or hell. We cannot continue like that. We have to make a change. That was the first lesson that we heard in the Triodion, preparing ourselves for Great Lent. And rest assured, many of us are going to forget the lesson by the time we get to Great Lent. For this reason, we need to persist and be diligent in prayer, or else, as we said earlier, we will fall into the great evil of indifference. Well, what's the big deal? It will be a big deal in the next life, but then it'll be too late for us. We have no time to waste. We have to make a beginning now. And why is it that we hear this every year in preparation for Great Lent? Because we are so forgetful, because we get so tempted, because we have all these passions. Today now we have heard the gospel of the parable of the prodigal son. And in the epistle reading, before the gospel reading, we heard the Holy Apostle tell us a number of times that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. How can you connect the temple of the Holy Spirit with a sinful harlot, he says? Do you not know that they are made one? And in reading this epistle and hearing this epistle, many sinners can get the wrong impression and fall into despair. But then we have the gospel reading, which puts things into perspective and puts everything in its place. Certainly the hope is that none of us have ever connected with in such a way with someone else. But there certainly are plenty of people, and those of us who hear confessions hear about many different types of temptations and sins which separate us from God. So we have, even in our minds, separated ourselves from God. We heard the readings of St. Simeon last night, who talks about these things, and he talks about the importance of purity, but more importantly, the tears of repentance, which bring about purity. Because if one is moral, simply moral, without any concept or understanding of purity, meaning purification of the soul by means of repentance, what's the use? Purification is the process of cleansing all of the different passions from our heart by means of repentance. God came to save the sinner. Our Lord came to call sinners to repentance. And that's what we hear in today's parable concerning the prodigal son. A son who asked his father for his inheritance. You see, oftentimes we become so blinded and foolish and stupid. We don't realize that the inheritance is the father's, but we think it's ours. So he went to the father as if he had certain rights. Give me my portion, my inheritance, which is actually a free gift from God. God has called all of us. We are all here now because He called us. Whether or not we remain, whether or not we persist in repentance, is up to the mercy of God, but also up to our own volition, because He gives us our free will. And that's the purpose of what St. Simeon the New Theologian is saying when he says, God give you will, and you can repent, and you can shed tears. We cannot just say, that's just the way I am. Then we're going to be stuck. We've said this many times, but I'm afraid a lot of times people are not listening. This is why we say we're going to forget by the time we get to Great Lent a lot of these lessons already, unless we do what we're told and fall down like the prodigal and repent. God be gracious to me, a sinner. And he took his inheritance and he went far away to a far country. There's no mention in the gospel reading about any goodbyes or anything like that. Just blind and foolish. At that point, he thinks he's got the world at his hands. At that point, he thinks he has a bright future. But the foolish son did not really understand. And this is the reason why we pray, give us understanding, O Lord. Give us true knowledge, O Lord. Please, I say it all the time, pay attention to the services. Grant us true knowledge, O Lord. He did not have true knowledge. He left. He lived riotously. At the very beginning, he was having his fun. But then it says in scriptures there was a fierce famine in that land. And he had no money. He ran out of God's mercy. He ran out of grace. And he started feeling very empty. He had no food. And so he was working together with the swine, eating the husks of the swine. That is, in the filthy passions. And then, slowly, he started coming to himself. When someone turns away from God, it's very difficult for the person to return quickly. Because the falling away from God is a result of pride. And it's a delusion. It's obvious to us after hearing the parable that the son was deluded. He thought everything was going to go well with him, and actually in the beginning it did sort of go well, according to his plans, his fallen plans, being so in love with himself. But in the end, it was an absolute disaster. So the son had so much pride, and it took a lot of work to humble him. There's so many people that are so proud that just for the sake of pride, they would not return to their father. They would much rather live among the swine, eating of the husks of the food of the swine. There are some people that remain like that. The demons are in such a state. The demons know what's waiting for them, but they are too darkened to repent. They cannot repent. It's done. It's a done deal for them. With us, it is not like that. We have hope. So the prodigal, it says in scriptures, came to himself. Before he returned to his father, he returned to himself. He came to himself. We're not ourselves if we're not with God. Man is not normal without God. Oftentimes when we go through our temptations, listening to the passions or the voices of the demons speaking to us in our hearts and in our minds, they fool us into thinking that we are them. That's not us, it's them. You are not you if you are not enlightened. We are meant to be with God. And we are the sore losers, the fools, who give in to these stupid thoughts of the demons, who in the end mock us for our foolishness. We recall from the lives of those holy, great martyrs, 40 martyrs of Sevastia, who were all freezing in the lake, And one of them couldn't take it. And in his faint-heartedness, because his heart was not right with God, he was not given the grace to be able to endure, because none of the saints could endure martyrdom without God's grace. He gave up. And once he was taken in to be warmed, he died from the great change of the cold to the heat, to the warmth. Neither did he receive his martyric crown, neither did he continue his life on earth, which would have been useless anyway, just a few more years of life, of nothing. He died right away. And this is a tragic ending, which could happen to anyone if they do not come to. If you wish to persist in your foolish pride, you will not make it. It's that simple. Unless we crush our pride will crush us. It's that simple. And we will be the sore losers in the end, because we will have deluded ourselves into thinking that everything is okay in our indifference. This is why I keep telling you, we have to desperately call upon our Lord. If we have any knowledge of the spiritual world and the understanding of the presence of the angels and the demons in this battlefield, we will be running to our Lord very eagerly. We would understand how foolish we are, wasting our emotional, our mental, our spiritual abilities with things which do not profit us in the least, which in the end will really injure our minds and our hearts. He returns to himself and he tells himself. Now he's humbled. He says, I will return to my father, because he realized that his father had servants who lived better than him. And here he is, the son. The child of God said that I will go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned before heaven and against thee, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So finally, he had the absolute right attitude. He didn't say, Father, you know I'm your son, I have my rights. No. He said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Even though I am your son, I certainly have not acted like your son. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Who are we fooling? Make me as one of thy hired servants. And the father hardly heard anything. And right away, he took him in. He embraced him. It's that simple, my beloved. He gave him the πρώτη στολή, the first robe, which has a double meaning. And in our English translation, I think it's lacking. It says the best robe, but it's more specifically the first robe, because it specifically has to do with the baptismal robe. Our first robe is the baptismal robe, which we sullied because of our sins. And now the Father gives him his first robe, that baptismal robe, clean again, perfect, as if he had not sinned. What kind of a compassionate father is this? Who can gainsay the greatness of God's mercy and his compassion? And if that prodigal son had remained in that life, he would have certainly been worthy of torment. If he had remained in his pride, he would not have been worthy of the Heavenly Father. For this reason, we have to remember, God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. And in our daily lives and in every circumstance, in the monastery, those who live in the world, in all of our temptations, when we lose grace, when we don't have peace, rest assured it's because of our pride. We don't deserve grace at that time, when we are full of ourselves. Why is this person like that, and why is it like that, and so on and so forth. And the prouder the person is, the more difficulty he has with things. And he doesn't even want to hear these things. He is so proud. Anathema to the pride, we should tell ourselves. Anathema to the demon who tries to fool us into foolishness. Get thee behind me, Satan, we should say to our thoughts. I worship Jesus Christ. St. John Chrysostom says that's how we have to start our day, by making the sign of the cross and saying, I reject Satan and I worship Jesus Christ. And the Son, who came to himself, rejected Satan. He came to his Father. He was given the first robe, the ring, his aravona, his engagement, his promise from his Father, that he will remain together with his Father forever, in joy and gladness. And there was music and dancing, and there was joy, for there is great joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And the older son was coming from the fields. He was working diligently. He heard it all. He didn't know anything about it. He thought, why wasn't I informed? Here we go with the pride again. As if we all have certain rights. I need to know this and I need to know that and I demand my rights. And he found out that his brother who had fallen away came back and he was jealous. And he went to his father and he told his father, I've been with you all this time, working, sweating, and you haven't given me a kid. You haven't had a party for me. And the father wisely told him, my son, thou art ever with me. All that is mine is thine. You see what happens when we become blinded by our pride and jealousy. We don't realize what we have in front of us. We don't realize that we have it made. We don't realize that God has given us everything. As St. Simeon the Theologian said, the prophets didn't even have these things which we have. This is one of the reasons why they're so great. Without the tools that we have, they achieved sanctification. So he lost his mind there for a little minute, for a few moments. Did he come to? We can compare this to the Hebrew people, the Jewish people who had it made, the older son. And yet they didn't understand. They became hardened in heart. They were interested in keeping the outward rules. Everything for them was exterior, but they did not understand the interior life. My son, all that is mine is thine, and it was meet that we should make merry, because thy son, which was lost, is now found. He repented. And when we repent, and there is joy in heaven, because the angels go up to the Heavenly Father and report the repentance. What a beautiful thing that is. When one falls on his knees and opens his heart to the Lord and sheds tears, when the person can connect to God in such a way, the angels are rejoicing and they go up to heaven and they report it to the Heavenly Father and the demons tremble. And the demons don't know where to go. But they will not give up, and they will try, and they will continue. And for this reason, every year we hear this. It's not enough for us to hear this parable once in our lifetime. Here in the parable, we see that the son returned once, but unfortunately, there's a trend among us human beings where we fall and we get up, and we fall and we get up. For us Christians, there is hope. There is such great hope. There is no room for despair. But the demons will tempt us into thinking, no, you're mine. They try to fool us into thinking that we will not change. And we won't change unless we make the right prayer and the right connections with our Lord. God be gracious to me, a sinner. Father, I have sinned before heaven and before thee. We tell ourselves, I'm not worthy to wear the baptismal garment. I thank thee, O Lord, for deeming me worthy to be baptized Orthodox Christian. I'm not worthy to be wearing the rasso. Glory to thee, O Lord. I thank thee that thou hast called me to such a holy life. The clergy should condemn themselves always. I'm not worthy to wear my priestly garments. And we should pray, O Lord, cleanse the garment of my soul. Cleanse my baptismal garment. Heal me. Grant me tears of repentance. Since it's difficult for us to make that step number one, we've been stressing now for a long time the preliminary steps, step number one meaning the steps of repentance, the preliminary steps. Unfortunately, many of us haven't even begun. The preliminary step is to ask God for repentance. Grant unto me, O Lord, repentance, an image of repentance. Grant me the ability to fall down before thee. Grant me to pain over my sins, not just because of myself, but because of how could I do such a thing against you, against thee, O Lord? I have grieved thee, I have grieved thy Holy Spirit by my sinfulness. And we should be grieved over that, because our Lord shed his blood, and that's what we heard in the epistle reading today. We are bought with a price, his precious blood. We don't belong to ourselves, we belong to him. And if we know what's best for us, we will connect ourselves with him. Now, let us put aside, as the apostle tells us, all wrath, all temptation, all fornication, all evil, all anger, all pride, all the passions. Let us put it aside. At least even when we're in church, when we hear, let us lay aside all earthly care. Let us lay aside all earthly care. I'm reminding you where we are. Where are we standing? The prophets would have loved to see this day, as we've said. We are standing in a holy place, the Church of God. Let that understanding sink into our hearts, and let us understand that our Lord has called us to him. Let us not turn away, because if we turn away, we are not worthy of him. Let us fall on our knees like the prodigal son. And let us wisely return to our Father in anticipation and preparation for the Holy Great Lent, the period of repentance, praying that our Lord will deem us worthy. Grant us, O Lord, to be deemed worthy to fast properly in repentance, in anticipation of the Holy Resurrection, of which may we all be deemed worthy, so that we may glorify Father, Son, and Holy Spirit unto the ages of ages. Amen.